This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Thanks so much for being with us over the course of this wild and woolly week aboard the mothership. Coming up this hour here on the show, Jeff Goodman's going to join us. Jeff had some interesting commentary about Brad Stevens and the failure of the Boston Celtics this year. He was the first to say that the Celtics should move on from Brad Stevens, from a media crew that has oftentimes defended Brad Stevens at every turn. Are even the pro-Brad Stevens people turning against him? We'll talk to Jeff about that and the NBA playoffs coming up here a half hour from now. Also this hour, the Pac-12 has a new commissioner, and it's not Oliver Luck. On the phones at 855-212-4CBS, you can hit me up at 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Rich is in San Francisco this morning here on the DA show. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, DA.
How you doing?
Bored.
You're bored?
Yeah.
By the show?
No. You're quite interesting. You're over there in the East Coast, right?
Yeah, we're based in New York.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember my call, but I called when the Super Bowl Niners were playing.
Well, we took a lot of phone calls right around that time. What specifically did you call about back then?
I was the caller of the show. No one's like, you fail because you don't believe or something. I think somebody did a... Do you remember?
I don't specifically remember that, but... So we made you the epic fail with that call?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
How's your morning going? Sounds like you're struggling this morning.
Well, yeah, it's foggy as heck. It's dark. The thing about San Francisco is got too much fog, not enough sunlight.
Too much fog, so you're kind of in a fog.
Yeah, actually.
It's early, though, where you are. It's about 5 a.m., so was it a late night or an early morning?
I kind of drank coffee at night, so it just affected me.
Oh, you drank coffee last night?
Yeah.
So did you get any sleep whatsoever?
No, not yet.
Oh, oof, boy, yeah. So you're still up.
Yeah.
Man.
I wanted to thank you for that opportunity that you talked to me long enough when I made that call. I rarely call sports radios.
Problem, man. No, thanks for making the phone call. My pleasure.
And can you explain to me why do you use you're the mothership?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a huge Parliament Funkadelic fan, and one of the coolest things I always thought was that Parliament, the greatest funk band of all time, used to land a spaceship on their stage and invite everybody aboard, and they used to kind of make it like, this is the party, baby. You got to come inside the spaceship. And I thought that that was such a cool metaphor for inviting everybody into your party. And if you did it hurtling through outer space, even cooler. So I wanted to make this show feel like you're invited to a party and that everybody's invited. And so that's why we call it the Mothership.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so you got to listen to a little Parliament to maybe wind you down and get a little funky, and then maybe you can fall asleep.
Right, right. Before I, you know, I don't want to take too much of your time.
No, go ahead.
What do you think about the Bay out here with the Raiders and the, you know, well, actually they're gone now, but we got A's and the Niners, Warriors. What do you think about the Bay?
Well, sports-wise, Niners should be really good again because they were so banged up, so injury-prone last year that I think that they should be right back to be the contender, and I'm fascinated by Trey Lance. I really, really like him. From a basketball standpoint, you know, the Warriors are weird because as great as Steph has been, they've lost to some bad teams and looked really bad. So I'm a little hesitant on saying, oh, this is a fun story from the Warriors because they played some really underwhelming bad basketball this season. From a baseball standpoint, the Giants look great so far. I'm bummed about the A's, though. I hate the reports that they might still not be able to get a stadium done. A's fans are great. They've had a garbage building for a really long time, and they don't deserve to keep getting, you know, dragged through the mud on will they or won't they stay. So that's a bummer. I'm hoping that the A's figure this thing out with the city because they really, if you lose the Raiders and the Warriors and the A's in a couple of years' time, that's just devastating for Oakland.
Do you think San Francisco should help financially build that thing by the water, the estuary, the Oakland?
You mean for the A's ballpark?
Right, right.
I don't think you can ask San Francisco to do something for Oakland. I mean, this has to be an Oakland thing because San Francisco has its own baseball stadium, has its own ballpark. But I do think that in terms of the state getting involved, Major League Baseball getting involved, the league itself finding a way to make this happen, I just think it has to happen. I don't think you can afford for three different teams to leave Oakland in the span of like 3 years. It just would be too much.
Oh, right, right, of course. You know what's happening out here to Governor Newsom, right?
Well, what's the details on that?
Well, Newsom, who's was previous San Francisco mayor, now he's the governor.
Right.
Well, he's being recalled. Would be a recall election by Republicans or anybody else. Like, he's just being recalled. And
well, this A's ballpark thing, though, has been going on forever. And, man, I appreciate the phone calls always, bud. You be well. Hope that you get some Z's here, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. You got it. My pleasure. But the A's ballpark thing has been going on forever. I mean, think about how long this has been going on. The Raiders moved back from L.A. to Oakland in 95, 96. I think 95 was their final season in L.A. 96, they put that cavernous, ridiculous upper deck on that ballpark, which for baseball immediately rendered it terrible. So since 1996, the A's have been playing in a football stadium. That's 25 years now? They need a new ballpark? 25 years? I mean, come on. 25 years. They got to get a baseball-specific stadium done. And the league and the A's, they need to rally the support of local companies and private money and get people on board from the local governments and the state governments, whatever it's going to take, because it's not right for Oakland to have lost the Warriors to San Francisco, the Raiders to Las Vegas, and now be worried about losing the A's as well. And let me tell you, that phone call is a good throwback. Rich in San Francisco, that's a good throwback to the overnight days where people were delirious. They had not been asleep for a long time. They were kind of crazy and awesome and interesting, and that's the best. that's the best part about doing the overnight show, is how wacky it can be. And I think Rich just saved the caller's bacons, because we've had some real rough ones over the last couple of days. And that one, that's a home run right there. Rich in San Francisco hasn't slept yet. That's a home run. Sandy, you remember
machine of death.
Do you remember my phone call from 3 years ago? It talked about San Francisco and the Super Bowl. I got to be honest, Rich. But he was the epic fail. Maybe I should. We did single that out.
He might be revisiting that area again today.
What is you at all?
I'm sure if you've been on Twitter this week and you're a sports fan, you have seen the video of two youth football players playing in kind of an Oklahoma drill. What it is, what is you? What is you at all?
What is you? What is you at all?
You got two kids in helmets and pads. They're wearing Tennessee Titans gear, but I don't know if this is in Tennessee. And one has a football. One is supposed to tackle him. And the one with the football is much larger. The one with the football is heavier, taller, and just is kind of running at the tackler with a full head of speed, full head of steam. And he lowers his head as the ball carrier and drills helmet to helmet the smaller defensive player, knocks him back in a pretty violent collision. And everybody at this practice starts laughing. And it's like, ooh, wow. And it's pretty disturbing, because it's a helmet-to-helmet hit. The kid that hits the smaller kid is obviously bigger, possibly older. And it's a practice. It's a drill that's set up. And because it's a drill, it's disturbing, because it didn't just happen over the flow of a game. It happens set up by a coaching staff. Well, USA Football has condemned this youth video. And this was all over the place this week, this viral video. And it had like hundreds of thousands of views and thousands of comments. Well, the head of USA Football tweeted, "This is against everything that we stand for. We believe in a safer, smarter game taught by trained coaches to athletes according to their developmental readiness. We support the thousands of coaches committed to teaching things the right way." USA Football itself as an organization tweeted, "This is dangerous, inappropriate, and has no place in our game. Coach training is the pillar of our football development model, because educated coaches are key to making the game safer and more fun for the kids who play it." The commentary from people in and around the game, former players themselves, was pretty swift and pretty harsh. Joel Klatt, who's an excellent analyst and, of course, a former quarterback at Colorado, "Words cannot begin to express my anger watching this clip. This is not football, and whoever put this idiotic drill together and allowed an obvious mismatch should never be allowed near a football field or youth sports forever. This is child abuse disguised as competition." Former wide receiver Torrey Smith tweeted, "Attention all parents, if your kid is doing this drill, take your child off the field. Don't go back to those stupid coaches. Coaches like this aren't safe and ruin the image of football." Darren Orlovsky, Mraz's favorite analyst, "This is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen in youth sports. They look like they're 7 or 8 years old. There's no need to be doing anything close to this. One is obviously outmatched, and that's on the coach. Whoever put this drill together should face consequences." Lewis Riddick, "There are many people that should not be allowed to be associated with the game of football at any level. People responsible for this are doing nothing good for the game, and especially nothing good for these children. It's a bleeping joke." Willie Anderson, NFL player, Pro Bowler, "I hate these people with all of my heart. The reason why I say ban football until you're 10 years of age is this. Certify coaches, implement rules for practice, or ban some of these idiots from coaching kids forever." Anthony Becht, former NFL tight end, "This is a disgrace. It pisses me off." Bobby Carpenter, former NFL player, "This is nonsense. The way you teach tackling to young players, it's not this young, is from a step or two away. Ross Tucker, our regular friend here on the show. If you truly loved football, let alone these boys, you would never allow this to happen. These coaches should have been fired yesterday. Again, the outcry was swift. It was a consensus. This video was gross. And it's interesting because this was my reaction when I saw the video. I'm like, ugh. A pair of 7-year-old kids in a drill. One lowers the helmet and drills the other one. And the people at the practice started laughing. Oh, wow, big hit. And I'm like, ugh. I didn't tweet my reaction because it didn't seem significant enough to me to add to this type of video. I just found it kind of like, disappointing. But then I saw all these NFL players talking about it, and I did wonder, I don't know, maybe because I didn't play the game, I'm kind of offended by this or kind of grossed out by it. But then when I saw NFL players say, no, this is not right, I thought, oh, okay, my initial reaction was on point. And I think it's really important to note, most youth coaches care about the kids. Most youth coaches care about doing things the right way. I know in my town, I've got my family that have kids in football, flag football, contact football, what have you. And I know from seeing the clips and knowing the coaches and seeing the practices, I know that these people care, and I know that they want to keep the kids safe, and I know that their best interest, the kids' best interests, are at front and center. And I don't think that this video should be representative somehow of all these youth coaches being terrible people and not caring about concussions and not taking things seriously. So it's really important to remember that there is a movement abounding of young coaches trying to change the way that coaching has been. And they're doing really good things. And there's a lot of people that, look, playing football is not, at the end of the day, a terrible thing for humanity, I don't believe. But what I do believe is when you have big hits like this with young kids, and you're just seeing bodies fly through the air, and that video goes viral, it doesn't just go viral because people are offended. It goes viral because it's kind of funny to people, just like people were laughing at that practice. And that's where we need to take a beat. The coaches that thought, oh, this is just tough, you know, it's pretty funny because kids are getting laid out, those people, they need to be educated. I don't think you just say, oh, fire everybody. Because that doesn't, what are you going to do? You're going to march through all youth practices and fire you. You have to educate. And you have to tell youth coaches, do you recognize the danger in doing this? Kids' brains are forming. They're developing. There's a weight differential because kids at that age are also light on their feet. They could end up flying through the air like this one much easier than when you're older. You should think about whether we do need helmets and tackling before the age of 7 or 8 or 10 or 12. You should think about whether we need to do this. And if we do this, whether you need drills like this, and how do we do things safer? And of course, you can't oversee every coach at every practice. But what you do need to realize is that these aren't just little puppets and rag dolls that you throw out there and you get to see big collisions and you're trying to toughen them up. You got to realize there are repercussions to doing things like that. And it's important to remember, A, more youth coaches than not are really good at what they do and care. But B, the ones that don't need to be A, educated, and B, reprimanded. If you're not doing this correctly, you're not cool. It's not funny. It's not fun. There are repercussions because you're dealing with kids and you're dealing with their developing bodies and their developing brains. when we come back here on the DA show. We will have Jeff Goodman join us here on the show. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs with him. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
You. And we like what we do. So you like to party, and I like to party, and they like to party. It's what we do. We do what we like, and we like what we do. So you want to party, and I want to party, and they want to party. It's what we do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Andrew WK, which stands for Who Knows, according to Mraz, is engaged to Kat Dennings from Two Broke Girls. And that somehow became a topic of conversation this morning on a sports radio show. It's what we do. Jeff Goodman's going to join us coming up here on the show in a few minutes from now, but AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning. Let us talk pigs, pig products, and chocolate pudding. The Rays came through for us last night.
Yeah.
One ball, one strike here to Meadows. And the pitch lifted in the air towards right. Hit pretty deep. Judge looking up at the wall. Gone! A two-run homer for Austin Meadows. The Rays have a 4-0 lead.
As heard on Rays radio.
Let's go,
Tampa
Rays.
Tampa Bay avoiding a three-game sweep and snapping the Yankees' four-game win streak with a 9-1 thrashing. 87-year-old Rich Hill befuddled Aaron Boone's lineup.
He varies speeds, and his fastball plays up a lot more than the number would suggest, you know, and kind of changing arm angles, changing speeds on the breaking ball. I saw one down in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
We are going to start banging
the ball in a little bit.
Yeah, I think Hill is older than his MPH. He K'd 9 over 6 2/3 scoreless last night, and it doesn't end there. The Red Sox dumped the A's 8-1, so the Yankees are not in first in the AL East this morning, as someone predicted yesterday. The White Sox, Giants, Cleveland, Toronto, and Houston all won yesterday, too. So the Yanks dropped to 12th overall.
I'm so glad you brought this up, Bogues. Yesterday, Mraz went double or nothing. He would have lost this weekend anyway. He said that the Yankees were going to be one of the top three records of Major League Baseball as of tomorrow. They are currently, as you said, in 11th place in Major League Baseball. And so he would have lost, forcing him to don a pig nose and a pigtail, as Danielle and Taylor would pull said piggy tail, and he would squeal on the air next week. But he said, double or nothing. By next Saturday, I'll be right. And so now the countdown is on. If the Yankees do pull it out and are a top three record in baseball by next Saturday, when we wake up on Saturday morning, then I will don a pig nose, and I will oink, and I will eat out of a snack pack of chocolate pudding like a piggy nose. However, if the Yankees do not pull this out and they are still not top three by a week from now, Mraz will do all of those things but have a big bowl of chocolate pudding with bacon in it so that he has to go bobbing for bacon with a muddy pudding mouth like the pig that he is while he has his tail pulled.
It's humiliating. Everybody relax. 7 in a row coming up for the Yankees now. 7 in a row.
11th place. 11th place, 1 week to go.
Let's switch to basketball. A half game separates teams 4 through 6 in the East in the NBA this morning. The Hawks remain atop that trio with a 116-93 takedown of the Magic. Then come the Heat, who dumped the Sixers 106-94, and then the Knicks, who rallied past the Spurs 102-98. Knicks forward Julius Randle had his eye on a scoreboard at MSG.
I was watching today, for sure. People who say they're not watching are liars.
I was watching.
Right now, his Knicks would face the Bucks in round one. Milwaukee, a 142-133 win in Indy behind 40 points, 15 rebounds, and 6 assists from Giannis. The Clippers took care of the Hornets, 113-90, and the Nuggets beat the T-Wolves, 114-103. L.A. stays a game up on Denver for third out west, and the Kings lost in Memphis, 116-110. Sacramento officially missing the playoffs for the 15th consecutive season. That matches the longest drought in league history. The Spurs get the final spot in the West play-in. Two more first-round picks signed contracts yesterday. Washington linebacker Jamin Davis and Titans corner Caleb Farley. J.J. Spawn and Jason Spieth share the lead after round one of the Byron Nelson in Texas. 9 under 63s for them yesterday. The Colorado Avalanche claimed home ice throughout the playoffs with last night's 5-1 win in L.A. And Simone Augustus retiring before the new WNBA season begins today. She'll be an L.A. Sparks assistant instead of playing for them. Augustus won 4 titles, is 10th in league history in points. D.A., back to you.
I got two questions for Don Cherry a la mode here before Canadian Bacon starts up. Number one, are the Canucks and Flames done playing yet?
I honestly can't tell you that. They are. I think we finish up tomorrow. If I'm
yeah, no, they have left. 3 more games to play.
These two teams got hit by COVID and delayed so long that we still have games to play with these two teams. But it's not going to stop us from having the playoffs, right? So when do the playoffs begin?
We get tomorrow, we get cooking. Bruins Capitals is Saturday night, and then you get a full slate to sink your teeth into Sunday. Penguins, Isles, Wild, Knights, Lightning, Panthers. And then by Monday, we're really cooking with the rest of the divisions.
Okay, excellent.
But, hold on. But one thing, though, the Canadian division, they don't start until Wednesday and Thursday, because one of them has to play the Canucks Saturday before they get to those Flames games. So then they need to give them X number of days off. So one Canadian series begins on Wednesday when everyone else is already 2 or 3 games in.
Disgrace.
And then the other one starts on Thursday.
So the Canucks and the Flames, by having their COVID outbreaks, have delayed everything so badly that they will be playing regular season games simultaneously as the rest of the league is playing playoff games, and will delay their playoff series for their entire division for like half a week. But either way, that means on Monday, our first edition of Canadian Bacon, Mraz?
We're snorting and ready to go Monday morning. Goal of the day, player of the day, soundbite of the day, maybe some witty jokes. Let's go. Canadian Bacon back on Monday.
Baby.
Okay. Excellent. Last year we debuted Canadian Bacon, a daily morning roundup of the night in the hockey playoffs. Standing by is our good friend, NBA and college basketball insider, longtime writer, currently covering the sport for Stadium Sports. And we actually just played a clip of his earlier in the week that we talked a lot about regarding Brad Stevens and the woeful Celtics. Our friend Jeff Goodman. Jeff, good morning. How we doing?
You know, I feel like a horrible person when I say that the Celtics should move on from Brad Stevens, potentially, because I've known him for so long, and I think Brad Stevens is, like, the best human being in the world. So, like, honestly, I feel like a bad human being when I say it.
But it was really interesting because, for those reasons that you mentioned, a lot of people don't want the Celtics, they don't want to have to criticize Brad Stevens for the Celtics' problems this year. But as you had alluded to, hey, it might be better for both sides. What have you seen for the Celtics this year that make you believe that maybe a parting of the ways is the best for both?
A lot. In terms of, I think, number one, it's that this group just doesn't fit well together under Brad's system. Right, either you've got to change your system and the way you play, or if you're Danny Ainge, you better get him some different players. I also think maybe it's just run its course. You know, I just don't see – you have to make a move if you're Danny Ainge, right? You have to do something. You can't go in with the same core group. And ultimately, to me, you got to make a significant move. You can't make a minor move. A minor move isn't going to do anything with this team. So the only two – scenarios I really see, because again, you can't trade Kemba Walker. You're going to get 50 cents in the dollar. I would not trade Jason Tatum for anybody in the game right now, not named Luka Doncic. I wouldn't. So what do you have left? either Brad Stevens or Jaylen Brown. And I've said, I would trade Jaylen Brown in a deal for Bradley Beal. Celtics fans think I'm crazy. I mean, they think, I don't know, Jaylen Brown's Michael Jordan or something. To me, Bradley Beal's a better player. You'd have to give up more to Jaylen Brown. You might have to give up Jaylen Brown and, you know, your first-round pick this year and something else. Aaron Nesmith. Nobody wants to part with Robert Williams here because they think he's the next Bill Russell. I would do I would do Jaylen Brown and Robert Williams for Bradley Beal and call it a day and be happy. And I think both sides, you know, my take on Bradley, everybody's like, well, why would Bradley Beal come to Boston? Well, if they barely sneak into the playoffs, which they're going to do, the play-in game this year, does Bradley Beal get to a point where he says, you know what, I want out? Because every star does at some point that doesn't win. It's just a matter of time before they want out. Maybe they make it to the end of their contract, but a lot of times they just demand to be out. Now, what people may not realize listening to your show is, like, Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum are boys. They went to the same high school. Beal's like a big brother to Tatum. So, and Beal's more of a ball mover than Jaylen Brown is. So I hate to go away from your original point, which was why Brad Stevens, but I think it's one or the other. But I think you've got to – got to do something here. You can't go in with the same group if you're Danny Ainge next year with the same coach.
Well, do you think it's realistic? Because everything that we've been told is that Ainge doesn't want to make a move. The ownership is happy with both Ainge and Brad Stevens, that Stevens isn't going anywhere, which is why Stevens reportedly turned down that monster offer from Indiana. So is it even realistic to think that they would move on from him?
He's not going back to college. Like, that offer might have been $15 million a year, and I don't think it would have mattered. You know, Brad Stevens enjoys the NBA right now. He'll have other NBA opportunities if something happens with the Celtics. He doesn't want to go back to recruiting. He doesn't want to go back to college as they put in name, image, likeness. He talks to a bunch of coaches in college, and they're all telling him, stay in the NBA. It's much easier. You get to coach. You don't have to deal with, you know, shooting around the country to watch 16-year-old kids and wave to them just so they know you're there. So I just think, yeah, he makes a ton of money. He just signed a five-year deal, a new deal last year. So he's got 4 years left at, according to NBC Boston's Chris Forsberg told me yesterday or 2 days ago, he said he thinks it's somewhere in the $7 million range. So you're talking $28 million or reasons why, if you're Celtics ownership with Krausbeck, that you're not going to move on Brad Stevens. But again, I just think if you're Danny Ainge, you have no choice. What are you going to do? Are you going to move Romeo Langford? Say that's enough? Like, no, I just don't think Tatum, Brown, and Walker fit well together because they're all ball-dominant players. And the other part of it is I just don't understand why Brad Stevens allows everybody to shoot threes. Like, I really feel like, D.A., if you were out there on the court, he'd let you jack six or seven threes. I don't. My guess is you wouldn't make any of them.
That's right.
But he'd let you keep shooting them.
Jeff Goodman joins us this morning on the show, Stadium Sports Basketball Insider. Elsewhere in the NBA playoffs, one of the best stories of the game and the league this year has been the Knicks. They made a change at GM. They made a change at coach. They brought in Julius Randle. Out of those three things, what's the biggest reason the Knicks are a squarely in the playoffs type of franchise this year?
I mean, I guess you've got to say it's Leon Rose because he's the one who hired Tibbs, right? I mean, their relationship from CAA and, you know, and then obviously Julius Randle has been terrific. Randle doesn't surprise me, Damon. He really doesn't. I've seen him play since AAU ball. I absolutely love this kid, always. And I just felt like he needed the platform and the opportunity and the freedom. But he's always had this skill set. Listen. When they hired Leon Rose and Worldwide West, I was critical and can't believe they've done this. But you've got to give a ton of credit to Leon Rose for hiring Tibbs and probably most of the credit to Tibbs for figuring it out. Because you look at this roster and you're like, there's no way in hell this roster should have a team finish ahead of the Boston Celtics roster. No matter how many issues the Celtics have had this year with missed COVID games and injuries and whatnot, that Knicks roster has no reason finishing ahead of and not dealing with a playing game when, you know, Washington has two superstars and the Celtics have two or three superstars or all-stars. Tibbs is, to me, Tibbs is coach of the year.
What'd you think about the announcement yesterday that the Pac-12 had hired a new commissioner, but like Larry Scott, a guy that they ran off on a rail, had no experience in sports and had experience in entertainment in the MGM world, but once again, they took a flyer with a guy that didn't know sports administration?
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, a lot of people thought it was going to be Oliver Luck, but listen, anybody's better than Larry Scott. Anybody. Doesn't matter who you put in there. You could put my 17-year-old daughter in there, and she'd do a better job than Larry Scott. I mean, his arrogance from the get-go, nobody liked him at the Pac-12 Network. Nobody liked him in the Pac-12. The coaches, didn't matter who you talked to. They just thought he was the wrong guy for the job. So this guy who, again, doesn't have any experience, I hope it wasn't the Pac-12 trying to outthink themselves last time, you know, like last time when they did, you know, they hired Larry Scott from World Tennis. But, you know, I got to figure this guy has a better sense of business, you know, running MGM Resorts and their whole deal there. And I just don't know. Again, I would have went a more traditional route. Pac-12's got a lot of work to do, football and basketball. A lot of work to do, and I don't know if they can dig out of this thing, but I'm an Arizona grad, so I'm hoping and praying they become more relevant and I can stay up for more Pac-12 games than I did this past year.
You know, Patrick Baldwin Jr. commits this week to Milwaukee instead of Duke and so many other big programs that were on him, Virginia. And we talked about this, how is this a real kind of game changer for college basketball where kids could go to smaller schools like Milwaukee in the Horizon League, but because it's one and done and because there's name, image, likeness now, that maybe big players could go to smaller schools? Or is this kind of an anomaly because his dad is coaching there? How'd you read it?
Yeah, we're overthinking this. The dad always wins. Okay, the dad almost always wins. The last time that the dad as a head coach hasn't won against a big-time recruit was Jason Capel, who went to North Carolina. His dad, his late dad, was the head coach at Old Dominion. And Jeff Capel, Jason's brother, told me, my dad told him, you're not coming here. You're not playing for me. But the dad doesn't do that very often. I mean, you go through the list. You know, I wrote a story in it the other day. You know, Bryce Drew, Pat Knight, Pete Maravich, Ray McCallum, both the McCaffrey sons, Buddy Boeheim. They all play for their dad. Now, the dad had never beaten Mike Krzyzewski before. So I thought maybe going against K might have a chance. Not even K. The dad. How strong the lure is of playing for your dad.
As an Arizona grad, what do you think about the recruitment of Arthur Kaluma? Do you think he ends up with the Wildcats? It's Arizona, it's Syracuse, it's Creighton, it's Washington right now that look like the finalists for the top 35 player in America.
Well, listen, Tommy Lloyd's done a good job so far. Let's see what he can do. I think, obviously, his international ties are strong. I just think if you're Tommy Lloyd in Arizona, you're just trying to take a step forward at this point and be relevant and be able to get guys, you know, top 50, top 100 guys. He's going to go heavy international because that's where his strongest ties are. But I just want to see Arizona. I'm happy now they're moved on to a new chapter at this point, and I think they just, you know, again, when I sat down with Lute Olson about a year and a half ago before he passed away, you could tell, and he had trouble talking at that point. He passed about a year ago now, but he even, you could see it on his face, and when he was trying to talk to me about it, he wanted the Sean Miller era over. He wanted to move on from it. He felt like the program had just gone through so much, and I think Tommy Lloyd's the right guy to kind of take it forward at this point. And, you know, again, hopefully they'll be decent this year. They got a really good transfer from Utah who can play the point, and they've kept most of their international guys because of Tommy Lloyd's, again, his strong ties overseas.
You've been doing a lot of work on the NIL front. We'll see how this changes college basketball, but I know you had a big conversation on the Field of 68 podcast, and so everybody's wondering, right, what it's going to look like, how it's going to happen, how it's going to be instituted. A really cool conversation they had with a lot of great college basketball insiders on the Field of 68 podcast.
Yeah, Jim Cavalli, who runs Influencer, big company that has dealt with NIL. And, you know, the one thing he said was, listen, he and others on the podcast that we had said the majority of what we're looking at early is social media. That's how these kids are going to make their money. You know, you look at some of these kids and the followings they have. There's a kid named Mikey Williams, who's a high school player right now, who's got 3 million Instagram followers. And I just saw it the other day. I clicked on when he went live, and it was like, seriously, it was like he was LeBron. He did it from, like, I don't even know where he was. But he was in some neighborhood, and everybody's coming up to him. And you just wonder what a kid like that can make right now in college. You know, he can make a lot of money. Now, there aren't a ton of those. And that's the thing, is how many of these kids are going to make real, real money with NIL. But I think that and the one-time transfer rule, which is going into effect here, are going to be game changers for college basketball. And the turnover is just going to be absolutely amazing next season. I think you're going to have more than 50% of all the players around the country be new on each roster when you look at it.
Wow, 50%. If you are interested in the changing dynamics of college basketball, how this will all look, it's more than a one-hour conversation, and it's so good. It's got media members, it's got former players, it's got assistant coaches, it's got people in the social media world. Field of 68 podcast, candid conversation about NIL. Jeff Goodman's part of it. Jeff, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my man. Thanks so much for doing it. Follow Jeff on Twitter, at Goodman Hoops. We'll talk to you again, buddy.
Love you, D.A. Be well,
see
man.
See you, man. You too. Jeff Goodman joining us this morning on the show. When we return, that Pac-12 question's an interesting one. The Pac-12 went outside the box again. Is this a mistake for their commissioner? D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
I stand with Sam. I stand with Sam.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We stand with Sam Rubidoff, yesterday's fill-in producer for Mraz, who was unable to land Nate Ebner, even though Ebner was scheduled to join us throughout the morning. Nate will supposedly join us next hour on the show, but fool me once. So yesterday, the Pac-12 hired a new commissioner, former MGM executive George Kilikoff. And this is interesting because he has no background in sports, which was also the problem with former commissioner Larry Scott. Scott ended up being a bumbling disaster. Pac-12 Network fell so far behind the other conference networks. Football fell on hard times. Their revenue was way behind everybody else, and it's night and day between the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 revenues. So they need somebody to fix all of that, and we'll see if a guy that doesn't have any sports background can do that. But in doing so, they also passed on Oliver Luck, who, frankly, is a DA show. I don't want to call him a fanboy, but he appears to be a bit of a D-alien, at least. We just played video Cap did during the commercial break, and in the truly absurdist fashion that the DA show is molded after, it is a moment where the commissioner of the XFL is delivering a teddy bear and a huge box of chocolates to us as Mraz takes an SAT class in the same room, or an SAT test, proctored by a woman only known as Chicken Pesto Lady. That happened in one moment in time. This was two Februaries ago when Mraz lost the bet, had to take the SAT, was proctored by Chicken Pesto Lady, and on that same exact day, Oliver Luck, trying to win our hearts from the AAF, said, "We are here to try to win you over with chocolates, teddy bears for the XFL." It was a devious ploy, but a smart one, because you could easily win us over via free food. It's the quickest way to make us do anything. I mean, we'll do anything. We will totally sell out for free food. But Oliver Luck's also a really smart guy, and he's also a really respectable, reputable guy, and he's also has a background in running sports organizations and programs as a former AD. And if this goes wrong for the Pac-12 because they hired a guy that has no sports background and they passed on luck to do it, that's a huge mistake. We'll see. Maybe this guy ends up working out. But I thought Oliver Luck was a slam dunk. I mean, how do you not want a guy that grounded, smart, experienced, sports, groomed a son that was like the most grounded, cool superstar ever, Andrew Luck, and has all the experience that you need to kind of put that thing back together? I don't know. I have no idea how you pass on Oliver Luck. I also don't know how you pass on Oliver Luck if he sent you chocolates and teddy bears. Maybe that was his mistake. Maybe he tried to woo us more than he tried to woo the Pac-12. That would have been a mistake. When we come back here on the DA Show, is it surprising Tom Brady's dad is this opinionated? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.